moment to welcome each one here this morning. And to all of those who are visiting with us, we appreciate very much your presence. I want you to know that you are an honored guest here this morning, and it is my hope and prayer that the things we do and your time spent will be beneficial. I would encourage you to follow with me and remind you that you have a responsibility to know God's truth. You're going to be held accountable for the things that you believe in and the way that you live your life. Have you ever been on a deadline, on the clock, where you know that you have a certain time to get something done, to finish a task? Maybe it is taking the ACT or the SAT test. And you know that you have a certain time to complete that, to complete the sections. Have you ever been late and found yourself in a situation where it's just too late? Because you were not able to accomplish the task, or because you did not get the job done, it's just too late to do something about it. We know that that is dreaded. We know that it can be hurtful. I don't know, it seems to me that when I know I'm on a clock and I know that I have just a limited amount of time, that my nerves spike a little bit. And especially as that time begins to tick down, it just seems that it's harder and harder to think and to really get the job done. Have you ever been under that kind of pressure? You know, some people seem to thrive in that situation. Others do not. But we know the consequence of being late, of being too late. Maybe we wanted to join a team, or maybe we wanted to join an organization, and there was a deadline. And we didn't realize it, or maybe we forgot, and when we went to sign up, it was too late to join the team. There were times when I was told as a child that dinner would be at a certain time. Dinner would be served at 6 o'clock. Make sure that you're home by 6 o'clock. You can go out and play. You can go out and enjoy the sunshine. But we're going to eat at 6 o'clock. Did you ever find yourself late? And maybe you get home and mom said, well, it's too late to eat. You missed it. You missed supper. Or maybe you knew that you had to make a certain grade on the test in order to pass a course. You were coming to the final, and you knew that you were borderline. And maybe you didn't study as you should, and you went into that test, and again, you were nervous. And you got your grade back, and the teacher said, well, it's too late for you to pass the course. You should have been thinking about that throughout the semester, throughout the school period. Have you ever tried to apply for a job and found out that there was a deadline and you were too late to apply for that job? Or maybe you said something to someone that was hurtful. And as you thought about it, you wished you could take it back. But instead of calling or going by to see the person right then, you delayed. And that person passed from this life before you had a chance to say, I am sorry. Well, sometimes it's just too late to say you are sorry. But this idea of it's too late can also give us comfort and joy at times. It can also help build us up. If you've been afraid of someone, and maybe that person does something that he shouldn't do, and is arrested, and is convicted, and goes to jail, maybe the police officer would say, well, it's too late for him to hurt you. Well, that's good. That's comforting. That's joyful. And maybe you passed that final exam that we talked about a moment ago. And now you've been able to pass the course. And so you might think to yourself, you might be comforted, it's too late for me to fail this course. There are statutes of limitations on certain actions, legal proceedings we're talking about. And if you've done something wrong, it would be comforting to know that those statute of limitations, that it has passed. Or maybe you were around someone who'd gotten sick with some kind of a terrible disease. And you know that there's an incubation period for that disease. And you know maybe the incubation period is 2 to 3 weeks, something like that. And so you're worried all of this time, and finally you get past that period, and the doctor says, well, it's too late for you to get sick. You've made it through that incubation period. Or maybe you wanted this job, and you applied, but you were worried that others would apply, maybe someone more qualified, maybe someone that you knew had an interest in the job. And so you go to the interview, and everything goes well, and you're informed that you get the job. Well, it's too late then for anyone else to apply to derail your dream. It's too late. Just simply means that time has passed, events have taken place where something can no longer occur. There is a biblical application to all of this. In the passage read a few moments ago about King Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and Daniel interpreted that dream. Now, we didn't read that part of the passage, but Daniel basically told him exactly what was going to take place and why it would take place. And 12 months later, Nebuchadnezzar is there boasting about all that he'd accomplished, taking credit for all that had been done in this kingdom, not giving God glory at all. And God took it away from him. God took his mind, his reason, his sensibility away from him. He became insane for a period of time. And we recognize that in that state, he was not accountable. But what about before that state? What about the things that led to that point? He was responsible up to the point of his madness, up to the point of losing his mind. But it was too late to do anything about it at that point. God brought this on him, and God cured him. And he was again responsible after the cure. And we read from the verses about his response, did we not? How that he then began to glorify God and acknowledge God and give God credit for all of his great successes in life. I'm reminded of another king. King Saul began as a very humble man. And yet by the end of his reign, he had lost his sensibility, his mind, because of his sin, because of his transgression against God. And so we understand then that sometimes it can become too late to do the things that we need to do because of our emotional and mental state of being. It is difficult sometimes when we continue in sin over and over and over again, and we sear the conscience, it is difficult for us to come back. And it almost gets to a point where it is too late to come back. What about Lazarus and the rich man? In the book of Luke, chapter 16, in verse 19. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. Now this was their state in life. One had just about everything he could want. The other was poor and had little to nothing. And not only that, his health was bad. Both died. In verse 22, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." He knew who Lazarus was. And he said, "Please send Lazarus to come and give me some relief." I wonder how much relief he had given Lazarus in this life. Would this be possible? Was there some comfort for the rich man? But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish." So he makes the point that their condition, their state, was directly related to how they lived. And besides all of this, he says, "Between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." What Abraham was telling him is, it's too late. You had your chance. You had your opportunity. After this life, when we leave and we spend that time, either in paradise or in torment, we cannot change our position, our condition. We have lived a life, and we have determined our eternal destiny. And that is not going to change. All of the opportunities that we have now. We have at this moment. And there will be a final judgment day. In the book of John, chapter 5, verse 28, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tomb will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life," he says, "and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." And there are many passages of Scripture that teach clearly about this judgment. And when this judgment takes place, understand, it cannot be changed. It will be too late for us to do something about our eternal destiny. You are responsible for what you do in your life, the things that you believe in. You are responsible for where you spend eternity because God gave you that opportunity. The time is now. It's not this evening or tomorrow or next month. It's not when you know fully God's Word and you understand it completely. It's not when you have grown to a degree of maturity. The time is now. I want you to understand this. The basic teachings of conversion are simple to understand. They're not difficult. They're not hard to do. It's true that as we grow and as we mature, that takes time. And yes, we continue to learn. But let's be honest. The basic tenets of conversion are simple. You have a group of people in the book of Acts chapter 2. Jews. Peter accused them of having a hand in the crucifixion of Jesus just a few days earlier. Let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ, Peter tells them. They were cut. They were pricked in their heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And it wasn't a difficult response. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Today is the day that we have the opportunity to hear His voice. Today is when we can respond. In the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. He is speaking here to Christians. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not those who left Egypt led by Moses? You see, the Hebrew writer is going all the way back to the time when the people of Israel were delivered from Egypt. And he is reminding them of something that they knew. They knew the people who were made to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. The people who were not allowed to enter into the promised land. They knew this. And the Hebrew writer is reminding them that just because they are God's people, just because they are Christians, they must be faithful if they want to enjoy God's blessings. God does not give His blessings without faithfulness, without holding on to the confidence that we have to the very end. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, Paul simply says, working together with Him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you. And in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Again, there may very well be an allusion here of the Old Testament time. You go back and you look at that history. Well, we have the promises to Abraham, and then to Isaac, and then Jacob. And we see the story of Joseph as Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers and ended up in Egypt. And because God was with him, he rose to a powerful position, second only to the Pharaoh. And all of that was done to protect God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of that was done to ensure that the people of Israel would survive a severe drought of that day and time. They were there about 400 years. About 400 years. And they had gone from a special people to the Egyptians to slaves. And when it was a favorable time, God heard their cries. There was a day of salvation when He delivered them. And so it is with us. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God is patient. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack or slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance, He says. The Lord is patient with us, but He does not guarantee tomorrow. He's been patient with us up to this time. At some point, that patience ends, either in death or by His second coming. And so now was the time. He's been patient with us up to this point. He wants us to respond. It makes no difference what you've done in your past life. It makes no difference how much time you have wasted. It may be that you have only recently learned the truth, that you have only recently learned what to do to please God. You may be 20 years old. You may be 30 years old. You may be 60 or 70 years old. You may be 80 years old. If you are of the right mind, if you have your senses about you, where that you can understand God's will, then you may respond. And I want you to understand something. There will be equal blessings for those who obey the gospel early in life or those who obey the gospel very late in life. It makes no difference. There will be equal payment. In the book of Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 through verse 16, we have there a parable of a master going out and hiring people to work in his vineyard. And he goes out early in the morning, we're told, in verse 1, to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Getting out again about the sixth hour, and then the ninth hour, he did the same, we're told. And then the 11th hour, he still went out. He was still looking for people to come into his vineyard and work. Now, what's the point of this parable? And when evening came, verse 8, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." In other words, the ones who were hired at the 11th hour, they were the first ones to be paid. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." Doesn't seem fair, does it? I can certainly understand those hired in the 11th hour being very happy, being grateful. But I can also understand those who were hired early in the morning, having to go through the heat of the day, working all day, and they got the same amount. But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I chose to give to this last worker as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first and the first last." Whatever stage you are in life, whatever point you are, if you understand your condition before God, that you are a sinner, and that you need God's saving grace, And if you understand that God's saving grace comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, and then if you want to know what to do to be saved, and you believe what Peter said to do to be saved, that you will repent, that you will be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins, then we would encourage you this morning to do exactly that. The time is now. This is the opportunity that you have. I certainly pray to God that He will continue to give people another opportunity, and then another on top of that, and then just simply continue. But at some point in time, that patience and long suffering will end for us. We will die, or the Lord will come back. And the time has run out. It's too late at that moment. Many of the passages that we've read were written to Christians, warning them about apostasy, warning them about falling. And again, I would say that if you're a child of God who is not living the way God wants you to do, today is your day of salvation. Today is your day to respond. Not tomorrow, not the next day. Don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait until you can look back and you can wish and dream about what you might have done. Have you ever done that? Have you ever missed out on something and then looked back and realized, I could have done that. I should have done that, but now it's too late. I'm going to tell you something. That rich man, as he was there in torment, and as he saw Lazarus there in Abraham's bosom, by Abraham's side, he realized that point. You remember the story of the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish? Those 5 foolish, as they came back and as they went up to the door and they began to knock and the door was shut, they realized it's too late. Don't find yourself in that position. Respond if you need to. This morning, as together we stand and we sing the song that's been selected.